Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be back in the United States. We had a great time. God did amazing things through our group and with us, and we give him all the credit and glory for what took place there. We can tell you with full confidence that we saw 22 people get saved while we were there, seven on the soccer fields, two that were homeless, and the rest came from VBS. And you're going to hear more about that tonight. That's why I urge you to try to make plans, if you can, to be back here at 6 o'clock tonight to hear the students share and hear the leaders share about what God really did. But as we talk about missions and continuing to keep this theme this month, and really reality is it shouldn't have to be emphasized for a month. It should be something that we take to heart every day. It should be something that we live out in, on an everyday basis. But before I get started, I want to share with you something that I was told in Costa Rica, and then I just want to pray for the church there this morning. We had the opportunity to do door-to-door stuff. I was kind of nervous about that in Costa Rica. Not that it's a dangerous place. We had more than enough translators and people from the church with each group, and we had our leaders with each group. We were confident in going door to door. But as we went door to door, we invited a bunch of people back to VBS. And out of the 40, was probably about our high for VBS, there was maybe 10 of those kids that actually went to that church. So the other 30 were from the community. We had a service on Thursday night that they could come back to. The church was going to come back to kind of pray over us. We were going to pray over them. And then they were going to kind of just encourage us, and that was kind of the send-off service. We were shocked. Like 10 to 15 parents and their kids from VBS came back to that service, got up and said encouraging words to us and nice things. And I just want to pray right now, just take a second, pray for the church, and pray that those families are there today as they begin to worship and they start their worship service just as we do. So if we can just take a second, I'm going to pray, and we'll jump right into the sermon. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you give us, God, that we don't deserve. God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, God, and paving a way so that we can spend eternity with him. God, right now we just lift up the church in Costa Rica. We've served out this week, God. We pray that hearts were really changed, God, that they were just as encouraged as we were, God. I pray that those families that were reached out to this week, God, I pray that they are there spending their Sunday morning in worship with that church, God. I pray that the discipleship process happens for those who have been saved, God. I pray that they plug in, find a place to connect, God, where they can sit under your word, God, good biblical teaching as people point them to a closer walk with you. God, we thank you for everything that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at a few pieces of scriptures. And we're going to talk about what is your mission? What is your mission? I think for so many, if we were to walk around this room, if I were to take a microphone and walk around this room and stick it in front of your face and say, what do you believe missions is? Emphasize, tell me what missions is. We would hear answers from taking care of the widows and the people in our church, all the way to getting on an airplane and going and doing foreign missions, maybe going to a different state and helping in some capacity. There we would get a plethora of answers, a bunch of different responses of what missions truly is. And your answer is your answer, and that's fine. You can have a different answer from somebody because God calls us to do different things. God calls all of us to serve in different ways. God has given us spiritual gifts to be able to serve in different ways. That's the cool thing about the church. That was what I was trying to explain to our teenagers when we were there, is that guess what? Their mission is the same as our mission. It's just in a different spot. We're in two different places. And that's why God does the thing he does and brings people together the way that he does to be able to do such things. The impact of missions should never be taken lightly. I think that some people respond with, you know, why do you have to go here? Why do we have to make it a trip? Or why do we have to do this? But I believe that the impact that missions has should never be taken lightly. Whether it's a long-term mission trip, somebody's going somewhere to stay for 6 months in an unreached area, or if it's similar to the Cayman Brac and Costa Rica trip, where it's a short-term mission trip, where it's a week or a few days, where you're going and serving alongside of a church or alongside a missionary, or whether it's just here, outside of our doors. Missions should never be taken lightly. And when you think about the word missions, I pray that after we go through this scripture today and you walk through these doors, that you never think or take missions lightly. I pray that you realize that, guess what, it is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. That you can go on trips, you can go and do these things, but if you aren't living on mission every single day of your life, what's going to change when you go to Costa Rica? What's going to change when you go somewhere else? Church, reality is, if we can't do missions here, we'll never do missions anywhere else. If we won't serve God here, if we won't make Him known in our community, what makes us think that we can make Him known somewhere else? And I think that we come to a comfortable spot in our lives and we say, I'm content right here. I'm not going to go back, but I'm not going to go forward. I'm content right here. Or leave missions to someone else who has a heart from it. It is our God-given responsibility to serve people, to tell people about Jesus. Therefore, each and every one of us are called to be on mission. And when you come to a spot in your life, I pray God convicts the mess out of you to realize that, guess what? I can't be content anymore. Because there are souls that are dying and going to hell because of me. Because I won't say something. Because I won't make Him known. Because I won't share the gospel. Because I can't get past myself and my feelings and my pride to tell someone about Jesus. If we look in Scripture this morning, in Romans 10, 13 through 15, it says this. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard of Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. A common misconception that we have is, this place is more important than this place. This area in town is more important than this area of town. That's not true. Wildwood is no more important than the country of Iraq. San Francisco is no more important than Sumter County. Gosh, we should rejoice in the fact that when God sends people places and people's lives are changed because of Jesus, this would be something that we should rejoice in. Missions is no bigger issue here than it is anywhere else. Just as much as we want to see lives change in foreign countries, just as much as we want to see lives change in remote areas, just as much as we want to see lives change because of the name of Jesus, we should want to see that here. And our thoughts and our motives and our actions and the things that we do as a body of Christ, as a church, should be pointed to that. How can we see people get saved? Not how can we sit around a table and drink a cup of coffee and eat a meal together. How can we see people get saved? I'll be honest with you. I think that a lot of churches have lost that vision. Because we worry about taking care of too many people in here sometimes. Meeting our needs, meeting each other's needs, than meeting their needs. And when we lose that focus, when we lose that desire of growing the church and seeing people get saved, then we've lost our passion. We've lost the passion that God intended for us to have. It says in the scripture, says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him and to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? I want to stop right there, because I tell the teenagers all the time, and I emphasize this week, it was me and Stephen. We had a conversation one night, and he said, you know, I feel like I'm doing everything right. I said, you know, I'm living out my faith. We're praying before track meets. I said, Stephen, you've come to a spot in your life where praying before track meets and living out for Jesus isn't enough. He's ready for you to start telling people. And for some of you, you've come to a spot in your life where you're grown enough spiritually to have a conversation with somebody and pointing towards Jesus. That's what missions is, people. That's all it is. It's us getting past ourselves and saying, I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus.
whether it be in a country, whether it be in another state, or whether it be right here in Wildwood, Florida. We don't get to see in Costa Rica, when we go back or if we go back, we won't be able to see, we'll be able to see the fruit then. But guess what? If we live on mission here and do just as we're doing on these trips, if as a church, as a body of Christ, if we take that passion and we put it in each other, encourage one another to do that, we'll see the fruit from decisions made. We won't be able to see the fruit at that church until a year later. But here we can see it each week. We can continue that relationship. We can continue to build on what God has given us. This week, there was an I word. Can any of the teenagers tell me what I word? It was started with an I that we emphasized. Say that yet? No, we didn't. Okay, well, he's speaking Spanish. All right, it's not a Spanish word. I-N, intentional. We said be intentional this week. Be intentional in your everyday lives. We came in with a focus. We said, okay, we want to see people get saved. We want to do ministry to them. We want to serve these people. How can we do this? By being intentional. By being intentional. We can do that here. All it is waking up, walking out your door and saying, God, lead me, guide me, direct me, let me be bold. Lead me, guide me, direct me. Let me just be bold for you. Let me tell somebody about Jesus. Open up our conversation. Put it in front of my face today. Because I want to make you known in my life and with my words and with my actions. We continue on in that scripture, and it says, how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Our theme this month is love has no limits. Love has no limits. And I will tell you that every bit of that statement is true. The love that Christ has for us has no limits. It doesn't stop when you get to the border of the United States of America. It doesn't stop when it hits the ocean. It has no limits. It can cover the globe. But it takes people willing to go out and say, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I pray hardcore for the people that are sent into foreign countries, remote areas where they are literally could possibly die any second of the day for sharing their Christ, for sharing Christ with someone, for being a Christian. Yet we walk through everyday life having zero passion, having zero drive to make Christ known. Guys, we're thankful. I'm thankful that we live in the United States of America. We live in a free country. I'm thankful for the things that we have, the things in our home, the things, the stuff that are comfortable to us. But don't get to a place where you're so comfortable that Jesus isn't a priority, that making him known isn't something that you emphasize in a day-to-day process. Mission strategies and visions for missions they're attempted in almost every church. They say, how can we reach people? How can we share the gospel? How can we get people saved? And some of it, they knock it out of the park. But some of them stink. They're horrible at it. And you know why?
They don't practice it.
To have a church that emphasizes missions, to be a mission-minded church, guess what has to happen? The people have to be mission-minded. Therefore, if we're going to emphasize missions and make it a priority and make it a big deal, guess what has to happen? We have to take it serious. We have to say, you know what? It's a priority in my life to see people get saved. It's a priority in my life to make Jesus known. It's a priority in my life to go out into my community and tell people about him so that we can see people get saved. That's where it starts. It starts with us. It starts with us saying, I'm going to make it a priority. I'm going to make it something that I'm going to emphasize in my life and in my church. Acts 1:8 is scripture that we're going to continue to look at for the rest of this month. And it says this, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Brother Craig probably read this verse last week. He read it 2 weeks ago. And when he read it, he said, you know what? He said, when we look at Judea and Samaria, that's our region. That's our state. That's our area. And as this morning, as we kind of look at that and kind of funnel our vision towards missions being in Florida or missions being in our county, in our region, we need to think about how we can make an impact, how we can make a difference as an individual and as a church. Because getting on a plane, going through an organization, going and doing those things that a mission trip encompasses is great. It's great. You'll hear tonight the lives that have been changed with our teenagers through that trip and our leaders. My life. It's by far, I said this morning, it's by far the best trip that I've ever been on as a teenager and an adult. Nothing compares. God moved that much. But we can do those things. We can get on a plane. We can go far away. But what's it matter if we don't do it here? God sends people far away. God sends people to different communities, to different cities. God sends people away, but guess what? God sends people here also. I know that the railroad isn't as big as it once was. I'm correct. The town maybe has grown a little bit and there's different things. But as I look around this room, every one of you live here for a reason. You were brought to Wildwood at a certain time. You were brought into this community, Oxford, wherever you live. You were brought here for a reason. It wasn't just because, hey, I'm going to move here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to work here. But you were brought here for a reason. You were here to serve the Lord. You're here to make this your mission field. You're here to emphasize Jesus. You are here to make him known. That is why you were placed on this earth in the first part, and that is the reason you've been placed in this community. We have to take missions to another level in our life before we can take it to another level as a church. And it's making it a priority, making it something that's important to us in our everyday life. We had a young man that worked with us this week, and I've never seen a person so humble and have so much humility in his life. His name was Raphael. Raphael's community was an hour and a half away, but every single day he rode two buses, an hour and a half, to get there at 7 o'clock in the morning to spend the whole day with us. And almost every night he missed the bus home, because he wanted to be there to serve. Church, that's what it's about. It's saying, you know what? I'm putting my desires, I'm putting my agenda, I'm putting my schedule, I'm putting everything that I want out of the way and saying, Jesus, if I get it, I get it. But the first of all, I'm going to make you known. I'm going to glorify you in my life. That has to be our priority. That has to be what we emphasize. I saw people this week that I shared with the teenagers, I said, man, I've just never seen anybody that passionate about Jesus. I don't look in the mirror and see somebody that passionate about Jesus. And I said, I'm convicted of the fact that I don't do enough. I don't tell people enough. Guys, I'm a pastor saying that to you this morning, is that this message is just as much for me as it is for you. We all have to step up our game. We all have to say, you know what, I'm going to take it to another level, because I realize that we live in a community with a bunch of lost people. I don't have to fly across the globe to reach out to these people. They're right here at our front door. But it just takes us doing this, opening our eyes. Opening our eyes. Opening our eyes and saying, you know what, I need Jesus. I need to tell them about Christ. And we're going to look at this last scripture this morning. Luke 10:2, it says this. One of my favorite verses. It says, these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Read that again. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. As I've said all morning, there is a lost and dying world sitting right out there, all around us. People who knew Jesus just as much as anybody else. The scripture says right there, it says the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Jesus is saying, you know what? There's work to be done. Here, there, and everywhere. There is work to be done. I just need more people to go out and do it. I just need more people to go out and do it. As I'm so thankful that God chose to use each and every one of us for his mission, for his purpose, for his glory. I'm thankful for that. But I think that we take for granted that so often. That those laborers are us. Those people that he wants to go out and tend to the harvest are us. And we look past it and say, somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will handle it. Somebody else will do it. Church, that's us. Those laborers are the ones that he's calling to do it. Because if we have a group of 10 and we have a group of 15, I'm not doubting God one bit, but a group of 150, 200 would be 10 times as good. So much more work could be done. Because reality is, in most churches across the United States, and even as we saw in Costa Rica, there's a handful of people who attempt to live out and continue to push the church forward, the body of Christ forward. But if they were to have people that were to continue to come and say, what can I do? I can tell you the first thing that you need to do. Live for him. Live for him. Make him known in your life. Tell people about him. The second thing, find a place to plug in. Find a ministry to servants. Find an area in the local body of Christ where we're trying to make Christ known and say, how can I help? What can I do? What can I bring? Because God has given each of us gifts, like I started this whole thing off with, to minister to others, to serve him. Let's not allow those things to go to the wayside. I'm going to end with a couple stories this morning. And Benita, I hope I don't take your steam on this one. I'm not going to share the whole thing. But where we were in Alajuela was the airport was basically in Alajuela. It's like a 5-minute trip to the church. Great location. All right, we can get back and forth easy. And the church is kind of dead ends, the road dead ends right there. The church is sitting on the corner, and there's a huge soccer field behind it. And as we got there, we pulled up, and the kids, the first thing that they saw, they shared in Sunday school this morning, was like 14, 15-year-old kids just like getting wasted out there, right in front of the church. And as the week went on, we realized, a couple days went on, that this is like where homeless people come all day long. They're sitting out here. They're sitting on the curb. They're sitting in right here in front of us. And Benita was the first one that kind of said, I'm going to go talk to her. I'm going to go talk to her. And Benita and another lady, she had a translator, obviously, because we couldn't speak that good of Spanish. I can promise you that. It's nice to know what people are saying when you're around you. Like, if you guys were to say, hey, it's like, oh, thank you. You know, like, there, I'm like, what? You know, what'd you say? So, but Benita went out, and she talked to her and just was trying to minister to her, and kind of a cold shoulder, not really a good response. And then later on that week, Benita and the lady went back out there, and she ended up accepting Jesus Christ as her Savior. And the share night, we had a time during that night, towards the end of the week, where the church kind of said encouraging things to us. And one of the ladies stood up in front of her, and she's crying, she's emotional, and she says, I can't believe this whole time these people have been sitting at the gate of our church, but we've never reached out to them. We've been sitting at the gate of our church. They've been sitting right there at the front door, but not once has anybody said anything to them, given them anything. And from that point on, we had some of our kids taking clothes out to them, blankets. Every day the church began to take food out to them as we had leftovers. Instead of throwing it in the trash can, they took it out and fed them. And they said, you know, we just didn't see that as a priority. We didn't see that. And we said, look, love has no limits. It's for the least of these and the best of these. It doesn't have a limit. There was a soccer field, as I said, right behind the church. And this is how cool God is. For 9 years, this church has been praying for a church in the United States of America missions group to come serve alongside of them. They said that we were their answer to prayer. I said, well, you are our answer to prayer. God sent us to you. For years, ever since the existence of this church, the people, it was a family that owned that soccer field, never unlocked the gate for the church. They said, well, we won't do it. Somehow, some way, a door opened this week. Then the gate was unlocked. The family were receptive. They opened up the gate. They allowed us to use the soccer field every single day we were there. We saw 7 kids get saved on the soccer field. God's good. God is good and I think that so often it's right here and we're looking out for out there. It's right in front of our face. And God's saying, make me known. Tell them about me. Be intentional. That's all we have to do, church. I'm just convicted this week, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to do big things, but sometimes we blow it up and make it this huge production when all we need to do is just tell them, share the gospel. We use these bracelets this week, and you've probably seen them before. This is one of our best tools for sharing the gospel. The ABCs were one of our best tools for sharing the gospel. God gives us the resources. He gives us the abilities. He gives us what we need to live for him and let him be our mission. It's us responding with the word, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll serve. Yes, I'll do that ministry. That's all it is. As we close this morning, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to ask you this question. What is your mission? As a family, as an individual, even as a church, what do you think our mission is? God is calling us as followers of Christ from Wildwood to Orlando to Costa Rica to Cayman Brac to Africa to Iraq. He's calling us to all these different places. And he's saying, will you serve me? Will you make me known? Will you honor me with your life? Reality is, most of you will stay here. This will be your mission field. This will be the place that you serve God. And that's great. That's perfect. But will you do it? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Will I do it? Will I make Jesus known at my job? Will I make Jesus known in my community? Will I make Jesus known at school? We take those little things that we take for granted so lightly sometimes and say, I don't have to emphasize Jesus. I don't have to share the gospel. I have another day. Maybe that's why we were so intentional, because we knew our time was limited where we were. But our time is just as limited here. In that scripture we read this morning, it says, how will they know unless someone tells them? Will you be that someone this morning? Will you be that someone? Church, it's time to not just make a month emphasis about missions, but move to a spot where we said, missions is every day of my life, because I'm living for him and I'm telling people about him. Don't take for granted that somebody else is going to come behind you and share the gospel. Don't take for granted that another church may reach out to this person. Take initiative and do it yourself, because God's given you what you need. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we close this morning, I'm going to pray. But in just a few minutes, if you want to make a decision for Christ, if you want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior, if you want to come forward and just pray for you, your family, somebody in your family that's lost, maybe you want to come forward and pray for the Cayman Brac team. Let's make it a priority
to honor and serve him with our lives. But share the gospel and attempt to lead people to him. Let us pray and we'll sing. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, thank you for everything that you pour out on our lives. Every moment of every day. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for what you've given us, God, to be able to use those to make you a priority, to make you known in our lives, God. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we have something to live for. God, I pray that you will encourage, you will motivate, you will make it a priority for each of us that sits in this room, God, to make you known. To share your love. That it doesn't matter what background, what color, what place they come from. Your love has no limits. And I pray today as we walk out this door and we get in our cars, that this won't just be another message, God. It'll be a word from you. It'll be a conviction in our hearts saying, you need to do this. You need to go here. You need to serve them. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.